The beauty of that system is twofold. One, you know, our customers are running thousands of feed bins, thousands of farms and barns generally. And so they need to be managing by exception. If everything's going great, I don't need a report that everything's going great. I need to know where to focus and spend my time so that I can get better. We help them do that. But we don't just give them the report. We'll actually start the process and text those farmers or those workers and go, hey, get on this right now. So that we're cutting all that administrative communication time down to literally seconds. We know we've got a problem. Let's work on it right out of the gate. And let's follow up. And we can always go back and say, how do we get to this? What was the problem? All of that work and opportunity remains. But we've got to get right into the workflow right off the bat. You know, these are real-time situations. The hogs aren't going to wait.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy-D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Improve bone health and lifetime productivity with Hi-D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. BinSentry, the most trusted feed monitoring solution in the world. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet. The National Pork Board is committed to improving the health of the U.S. swine herd. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and my guest today is Ben Allen. Ben is the Chief Executive Officer of BinSentry, an automated feed management platform. Welcome to the Swine It podcast, Ben.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, thank you for being my guest. Before we get started, Ben, will you introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners, tell us about your career path, and then at the end, share us a bit about BinSentry.
Yeah, happy to. So I grew up in Davenport, Iowa, and went to Iowa State for undergrad. The family business was commodity trading. My dad was one of the first people to do hedging for large family farms in the United States. So I literally grew up in a trading house, working with big farms. If you flash forward, I worked in ag for about 10 years and then got an MBA, did some teaching at grad school. And then I left ag and just did pure high tech for a while. I did a stint in Advanced Micro Devices, the computer chip company that's one of the largest in the world, working with some exciting projects like Xbox One for Microsoft and PlayStation 4 for Sony, and just did some pure high tech work. And then I was lucky enough to put my ag career and my tech career together and get into ag tech, where I've been for the last 15 years. And I'm excited to be a part of agricultural technology. I really like agriculture quite a bit. The people are special and what we do is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And what a fun career to kind of go outside of the space, but bring that technology back.
Yeah, it's been an unusual journey, but it's been a lot of fun. You know, I'm pretty blessed to be where I'm at, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, excellent. So tell us about BinSentry. Give us just a little company background.
Yeah, happy to. So BinSentry is one of the fastest growing ag tech companies on the planet. We've been in business for 8 years. And we serve some of the larger agricultural companies in North America today. And we're just starting to move into South America. So companies, they are growing out animals or large feed mill retailers. That's who we work for and who we work with. We're the only company today that's really doing that at scale. So we monitor over 50,000 assets a day. We add another 2,000 to 3,000 assets to our monitoring service every month. So we're growing pretty quick. And we're really excited to be a part of it. You know, we work in the animal feed supply chain space, from the mills and the ingredients that they have at the mill to create animal feed, through to delivering that feed out to the barns and then tracking that feed consumption at the barn. You know, we're the global leader in that, and we're excited to continue to work forward. We do it through IoT sensors, so industrial sensors that go into feed bins and ingredient bins at the mills. Those are different sensors, but they operate on the same technology. And then high-end software that operates in the cloud. The software does more than just deliver inventory information. That's the the blocking and tackling of what we do. But we help our customers go all the way through to issue identification and issue resolution. So what that means in real life is that we can help them find problems, but we don't just say, hey, you've got a problem. Our software actually begins the process for solving problems. And that gets into workflow management. So we work with our customers who are all enterprise grade. They're all large players to help them not only identify issues, but to solve them much faster. And that's how we cut costs in the supply chain so rapidly.
BinCentury is the global leader in animal feed supply chain management, monitoring tens of thousands of feed bins daily. Our technology helps pork and poultry producers, as well as commercial scale feed mills, enter a new era of increased efficiency, lower costs, higher profitability, and improved employee safety. We transform how our customers run their operations by replacing feed inventory, guesstimates, and ineffective manual processes with rugged 3D sensors and software powered by artificial intelligence. The BinCentury operating advantage is clear, and it's why we're trusted by some of agriculture's biggest names. Learn more by visiting www.BinCentury.com today.
Yeah, excellent. And so different from some other technologies to go from the service at the beginning to get it set up and then go all the way through to, like you said, help solve the problems that you identify. And that's really key. I have been involved in some projects using some really interesting technologies, but they're a piece of it and it's not all built around it yet. And so it's been hard to adapt. And so that's a big difference, it sounds like, between some of those technologies and what your company BinCentury has.
Yeah, you know, AgTech has a lot of startups and they do some cool tech work and you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. But it's really difficult for a small company to serve a large company. They just don't have the scale and the manpower to keep up. And as you know, you've worked at big companies. You guys are running at scale all the time. You know, trucks are moving 7 days a week. There's a lot of money and a lot of animals and a lot of feed moving around on a regular basis. And so you've really got to be a fairly sizable vendor like we are to be able to keep up with that scale. And it's one thing to just hand somebody data, you know, which a lot of startups, it's all they can do is say, look at the data and look what we can enable. There's value in that, but there's significantly more value in going further than handing somebody data and handing them the tools to work with it, and also just the solution. You know, if you can see what's going on, there's no reason to just hand a problem off. It's way more valuable to hand a solution off. And that's really where we excel. You know, we help people work all the way through the process. The data is great. We have the biggest data set in history for animal feed consumption. But that's a beginning point, not an end point. We really want to go all the way through to making sure we're solving problems, because that's where you get the value. That's where the money savings show up.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about money, let's jump into the economics of feed bin monitoring and kind of what you found and what you can do for our listeners in terms of their systems. So, you know, feed being the single largest expense, right? And we're going to talk about swine farms since this is the Swine It podcast. But like you said, you know, you have some poultry pieces of the business as well. So tell me how managing the feed bin monitoring and the economics of that largest expense can help a company.
My grandfather lived in central Iowa, in Winterset, Iowa, and he worked at a feed mill in the late 50s. And the feed mill business has changed in a number of ways. The mills are way bigger than they used to be. You know, we do have more technology in the mills. But there's some ways in that we just haven't seen much change. We're still taking inventories manually. We're either hitting bins and trying to listen to see if they're hollow or full, or we're dropping weighted lines into ingredient bins and trying to guess at a big bin to see, you know, what the inventory is. That human manual data point is at the foundation of everything else the supply chain does. What that means is that we've had to set up the animal feed supply chains to be reactive to bad information. We're amazingly good at it, quite frankly. Like, it is amazing that we run as smoothly as we do. And it's because people work so hard and they put in a ton of hours and they've got a ton of experience at what they do. But that data set being kind of guessed at by humans at the beginning is still a foundational problem for running a highly efficient supply chain. You know, we've set it up to be reactive because those bad human guesses, they show up at inopportune times, right? Like Sunday afternoon, somebody calls and says, we're out, we need a truck. that causes a scramble, and we've set up the system to be able to manage that emergency or that crisis situation, if you will. That reactive capability, there's only one way to set up a supply chain to be reactive, and that is to add capacity to it. You just have to add more trucks and more hours and more people. That's the only way you can react to surprises strategically. That's also the most expensive way to set up a supply chain. It costs more money to carry the capacity and be reactive. The only way to get out of that habit and take money out of that system is to have better data about what's moving through the system and where it is in real time. And that's what we give for our big customers. We give this transparent data layer about what's going on with animal feed consumption at the point of consumption, out at the animal barns. And we're the best in the world at it. And that allows their people, who are super good at running their supply chains, to run it on a really clean data signal with better tools, as opposed to the phone calls and the texts and the emails about, the guesses about what could happen. Because really what that means is today, a lot of people rely on their historical experience. What do we think we need to do and where do we think we are, as opposed to knowing exactly where they are today and what they need to do today. A lot of it shows up in a weather event. It's a good example. In the north, think about an ice storm coming through. Or in the south, it's floods or hurricanes, whatever that may be. And you're going to shut the roads down for a couple of days or 3 or 4 days, who knows? So everybody calls the feed mill before you shut down. They say, top me off. It's like a run on a bank. Like the feed mill just can't deliver that all at one chance or all at one shot. So they do the best they can. And when the roads open back up 3 or 4 days later, the same situation happens again. Whereas our customers with data visibility and the tools go into their system in less than 60 seconds, they generate a report that says who's out today, who will be out next. And we can run that report all the way through to 20,000, 30,000 bins at a time. And that is the delivery report. So you're not guessing, you're not reacting to the field, panicking and saying, top me off, I need feed, I'm worried about the weather. You're just looking at the data reality. And that's the difference. Being able to work with the data reality means you're more efficient with trucks, you're more efficient with milling schedules, and you have a lot less outages. Outages is its own topic. You're a vet. And you know how much work has gone into genetics and dietary improvements over the last few decades. None of that matters if we don't get the right food at the right time to the right animal. And so that operational improvement of getting food into the barns, getting feed into the barns, it is the biggest cost-cutting opportunity today for animal producers. Just full stop. There are way more outages going on out at the barn than anybody is aware of. And so when the genetics and the nutrition are struggling, most of the time it's an operational issue, but we struggle to know where to focus there because we don't have the data. So when you talk to an operator, a live operations expert, you say, how many outages do they have? They say, well, we know what's going on. And you're like, show me. And so what they have are reported outages, which means you're asking a farmer or a tech to tell you something when you went wrong and then something went wrong out in the field and then report that back to you. That's not really clean data and it's not an ideal setup. There aren't many people that pick up the phone and say, hey man, I screwed up today. Now I need help. It's maybe not the best data set. But even beyond kind of that human incentive and reporting challenge that we have, which is real, but not a game changer, we found this when we crossed over more than 10,000 assets monitored or feed bins monitored in a day, that about 70 to 80% of the outage hours go completely unreported. Like they don't show up anywhere because we run one tandem bin empty and then we have to manually walk up and close the slide and open up the other bin to allow feed to continue to flow into the barn. And the workers and the farmers that are out there tried to pay attention to that, but they're looking at big metal columns. Like there's no way for them to see through that magically. And we goof it up all the time. Like we're really not good at it. And we worked with the biggest of the big. And they say, no, they start out by saying, we're pretty good at that. I'm like, well, show me the data. Well, we don't have any. All right, well, then how do you know you're good at it? Well, because this is what we do. all right, well, show me the data. You know, let's get into it. And when we actually get into it and track the data, we find that there are a lot more outages, a lot more feed mixing hours out there in the barns. You know, on a Friday, both slides get pulled open, so we don't have to worry about it until Sunday after kind of behavior going on out at the farm that create these operational challenges that negate some of the genetics and nutritional investments that we've already made. So this opportunity to run a really tight supply chain starts with knowing exactly what's going on out in the field and being able to have the tools to let people know how to address issues as soon as they crop up. And then, you know, outage hours go down, reclaim goes down, FCR goes down. Like the step function change in FCR that's possible with better operations, that's only something you can do with better systems and better data.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. You know, FCR is the hallmark of profitability in animal production because feed is the most expensive thing we do. And as a vet, you know that, you know, there's never been a historical data connection, mathematical connection between outage hours and FCR performance. And that's always kind of blown everybody's mind. There should be. It's one of the big problems. If we don't feed pigs, how do we mathematically correlate that to FCR? Well, in the past, it's never worked. Well, we did a large study with Hanor, and we figured out that actually outage hours correlate nearly perfectly with FCR performance. If you're not feeding pigs, your FCR performance, you know, goes bad, goes up. But if you are tracking all your outage hours, which is really the trick, the outage hours from having feed there but not opening the slide, not giving it to the pigs, once you track 100% of your outage hours, you get a really clean mathematical connection to outage hours and FCR performance. The reason it's never connected is we don't track all the hours, and so the math breaks down. That is only possible to know once you're watching tens of thousands of assets and, you know, have a really big data set. But that's what we've worked with really big customers to figure out together.
And that's really interesting. So Ben was talking about a pilot study that Ben Century did with the Hanor company, whom I spent a lot of years working with. And they implemented the technology and a set number of bins across a large geographical area and used it as a pilot. And then once they, got not even all the way to the end of the target date with that, saw such improvement and such data that convinced them to implement this technology across the system. And they've done some economic comparisons of what they're saving in terms of feed outage events and then feed conversion. And so it's available on the Ben Century website if you're interested in looking at more specifics of that data. But that's really key to me. It sounds like an understanding how this technology can help you if you implement it is first getting that data. And you're exactly right. The first point of data comes with the person who goes and reads the bin, whether it's climbing the ladder to read it, to maybe hit it with a hammer, to use, you know, another type of system, but it's fairly inaccurate. And actually what you said is 70% of the data either isn't there or isn't accurate. And so starting with good, solid bin readings creates a much more robust system. So Ben, step us out into how do you identify using your technology, how were the outages identified? And then how is that fed back to the system managers? And then how do you improve it? So let's talk about that for just a bit.
Yeah, happy to. So we have the best sensors in the business. They're a high-end optical sensor, which means we illuminate the interior of the bin with a high-powered LED, and then we map the surface of the inventory. You know, this problem would have been a lot easier if what we were moving around was sand, because sand always has the same angle of repose. A sand pile is always the same shape. But feed, because of moisture and consistency, is never the same shape. It rat holes or slants. It has peaks and valleys. So we have to actually map the entire surface of that inventory to be accurate. And then we feed that 3D image up into the cloud, and AI software, artificial intelligence software, takes out the spider webs. It works with every single image to clean it up and to make it highly accurate so that we're extremely close to what an actual scale would be out there, just a lot cheaper than a scale because scales are the most accurate and the most expensive, we're within 1 to 2 percentage points of a scale all the time. That data goes up into the cloud, we clean it up, and then we turn around and show that data, not only that data to the customers, we animate the actual interior of the bin so they can click into any bin and magically see inside, which is pretty cool. So if they're wondering what's going on, they can always just look. Do they have a hang up? Do they have a maintenance issue? What's going on? But our artificial intelligence in the software actually tracks consumption at the barns as well and adjusts for real-time conditions. As you know, animals eat differently depending on a number of variables. They might not be feeling well. There could be different humidity in the air. The temperature could be different. They're at a different growth stage of their life cycle. Whatever that may be, the real world doesn't follow the average curve for the genetic forecast. And that real world environment is constantly changing. So our sensors allow us to track real world consumption. And when we're looking at tandem bins, for instance, we can tell that one has gone empty and the other one isn't consuming any feed. That's a feed outage. Like, we've done all the hard work in the supply chain to deliver feed to the barn and get it into the tandems, but we forgot to open the slide. The pigs don't care why they're not getting fed. All they know is they're not getting fed. Somebody didn't open the slide. And so that creates an outage. Now, we don't stop right there. We don't just say, hey, by the way, you've got an outage. You need to do something about it. Our software has the capability to actually text the farmer or the tech or both associated with that asset or that site. Say, hey, you've got an issue and it needs to be checked right now. They don't need a mobile app. They don't have to be trained on anything. The system's smart enough just to text their phone and say, hey, look, you've got an issue at this barn, at this bin right now. Go check it out. So maybe it's a human mistake. Maybe it's an auger breakdown. There's a number of different problems or causes to those problems. What we know in our system is you're not feeding pigs right now. Somebody needs to get out there. And the beauty of that system is twofold. One, our customers are running thousands of feed bins, thousands of farms and barns generally. And so they need to be managing by exception. If everything's going great, I don't need a report that everything's going great. I need to know where to focus and spend my time so that I can get better. We help them do that. But we don't just give them the report. We'll actually start the process and text those farmers or those workers and go, hey, get on this right now, so that we're cutting all that administrative communication time down to literally seconds. We know we've got a problem. Let's work on it right out of the gate. And let's follow up. And we can always go back and say, how do we get to this? What was the problem? All of that work and opportunity remains. But we've got to get right into the workflow right off the bat. These are real-time situations. The hogs aren't going to wait. They're not interested in waiting. And we want to get them fed so we can have an efficient FCR. So, that's really how we manage through, and it's where you get the cost savings.
And, having been involved in trying to incorporate technology on a farm across a system, a large system, in across different geographical areas, not having an app and not having an email and not having a report with, 1,000 barns posted on it with, just a red or a green or something, a text to the person who is responsible for going to that site to, fix the problem is really key. That's the fastest solution. And that's really interesting that your technology is able to do that. Because, trying to implement some of those other technologies, it's, you got to download the app onto a phone or an iPad or whatever system and then open that app to get that information. And then it's hard to manage. And then you end up with 5 different apps to just go to the barn and do chores, right? So really, really cool technology that there's just a text only when there's an important thing to do. I don't want to text if everything is good, right? Because then it just, it's more busyness.
That's exactly right. We're trying to manage only when we need to manage. Labor out at the barn sites is harder than ever to staff. There's more turnover than ever before. And so we're trying to make that more efficient. We automate a lot of the feed workflow. That's what we do. And we do it out of necessity because the workers are harder than ever to find. But if you're going to automate, you also need to show up and make things easier. Automation that requires days and days of training or special situations isn't really automation for the workers that have to benefit from it. So we work with our customers to make sure things are automatically happening, that we cut down workflows and communication every opportunity that's out there. And our service team is big. You know, a lot of times we talk about technology. And I find that our customers don't really buy innovation. Like, they're not out there searching to be innovative. They are innovative as companies because they care about what they do and they're constantly improving. But they don't have a goal to say, hey, we're going to get out there and buy new technology to play with. They're not playing around. They're at scale. And so it's taken a lot of time and millions of dollars for us to build up our service work. You know, we install all of our sensors. We service all of our sensors. We don't hand a hardware job to any of our customers. We just do it. And we monitor all the technology from our operations center as well in North America. So, you know, that's a key part to this automation, this technology implementation that you were referencing. It can be really hard. Our customers aren't looking to take on more work. They're looking for work levels to come down and to automate work. And that's where we show up. But our service team is bigger than most full companies in ag tech. Like, it's a big group of guys rolling around in trucks, mostly guys rolling around in trucks, you know, solving work orders and installing gear every day. That's a really key piece about how we show up for our big customers. Like, we just white glove this thing. We take care of it.
Yeah, and that's great. And I think having that full model, right, from the beginning to the end is really the important piece. So, Ben, we're rounding out our time together. I want to say thank you for being my guest. Thank you to our listeners. And if you have questions or comments out there, send those through your podcast platform. Also, if you liked our show, please give us a thumbs up. So, Ben, any final thoughts to take home to our listeners from today's conversation about automated feed monitoring and Ben Sentry?
Well, I think a few, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I really enjoy it. One is that you want a white glove solution. Automation should make life easier, not create new work and training challenges for the whole company. And that's how we show up. We also align with the financial needs. There's no CapEx with us. People don't buy our gear. It has lifetime warranties. They buy the service and we just provide the technology and it just works. Just like the text message that goes out. That's really what our customers told us they needed and it's what we've built. It's what we continue to refine with their help. So we're really excited about that. And I'm really just excited that, you know, we've recently crossed over 50,000 assets monitored. And we continue to add 2,000 to 3,000 new a month. Like, we see a lot of feed move.
Yeah, and it'll be a really robust data system, capturing tool when you get more and more, right? Just for the whole industry to understand the movements and just this the sheer vastness of it.
That's right.
So
it's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. Better production performance starts with Eastman Choline Chloride. Visit eastman.com. Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd-specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaxinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaxinova.us.com. That's vaxinova.us.com.
Very good. So before I let you go, the hallmark of our Swine It podcast show is to ask our guest a few thought-provoking questions. So the first one, Ben, is what book or resource is your go-to in your area of expertise?
You know, I thought about that, and I like The Goal. It's a book about the theory of constraints, which is an operational strategy that says there's always something in your way and the thing in your way governs everything you do. So if you think about technology, some people are starting to choose gateways for their barns, you know, so that they can put multiple sensors through them. That doesn't sound crazy, but it means that the constraint on your entire strategy for being out at the farm is the bandwidth in your gateway. You know, and a lot of people don't think through those details. We went with cellular in our tech stack because you can put huge amounts of data through. And that managing the constraint is managing business. So the book, The Goal, has been pretty transformative for my career over the last 20 years.
Yeah. And so The Goal, also The Theory of Constraints, right? Same author, a book that's connected. I did a master's at University of Illinois, and that was one of the classes I took. And so I'm familiar with the book and understand just thinking about a system, right? And how all of the pieces have to work together. Yeah, no, great book. All right. So next is a book or resource that's not in your area of expertise.
Okay. So this one, and we sent 1,000 of these out last year, but it's Michael Lewis's Moneyball. So I really love to go to a baseball game. Something special with me and growing up in childhood, going to a baseball game and watching it. And data changed baseball. You know, that's what that whole movie and that book is about. And because there's non-intuitive things going on out in the world, you know, things that our human minds think are connected that aren't connected, or that we don't connect that actually are really connected. And so I really think there's a lesson in baseball there that's pretty far reaching. So, you know, that one's been pretty fun for me. And
yeah, and something relatable, right? We all know baseball. As Americans, anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So lastly, Ben, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Now, I thought a lot about this one. It wasn't easy. It sounds like it should be easy. So I went with pragmatic optimism. Like, a pessimist is really hard to work with. It's really hard to be looking for failure or the downside of things and be successful at the same time. You have to assume in your life, in your career, that there's a chance that things work out and that's what you're working towards. It takes optimism, but that pragmatic approach of, hey, I don't get this whole manifesting thing that people talk about online. I have no idea what that's about, but this whole concept of you can just say flowery things and they're going to work out. That doesn't work out for me either. Like, we have to be firmly rooted in reality. And knowing that we can make things work and we can solve it, I think that's fairly, you know, deeply rooted in agriculture. I think a farmer has to be optimistic. Those of us that work with farmers have to be optimistic and realistic all at the same time. And I think if you can balance those two things, be realistic and positive, then you're the kind of person I can survive a day with. I'd like to work with you.
Yeah, I think that's great. A pragmatic optimist. So. Very, very much agree. Having an optimistic viewpoint certainly makes for better conversation. I really appreciate you being my guest today, and we learned a lot about your company and your vision. So thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.